They are mobile. They're willing to go anywhere in the world for our, to protect our freedoms. That's the unique thing about the military ministry. When they get saved and called to preach, they're already willing to go anywhere in the world. And a lot of them go into missions. They go into church planting different places. And so your pastor's a product of that. I'm a product of that. That a man went over there. He was in the Navy. He went to Bible college. He came back. Pastor Greg Isle and his wife, Amanda. Marilyn. Amanda's his daughter. And then TJ and Lisa. They had three children there and so forth. I'm forever grateful to the man that poured his life into me in order that I could become what I am today. If you got your places there in Ezra chapter 7, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able to. Chapter number 7 of the book of Ezra. We're going to read a couple of verses out of here this morning. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and of the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Artaxerxes the king. And it came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the 5th month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him." Verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." I want to preach this morning on how to get ready for the mission that God has for you. God has a mission for everybody. Now, it may not be going into full-time Christian service. It may not be being a pastor or a missionary. Young people, by the way, too, I had 5 children, 4 boys and a girl, and 3 of my boys are called, they're preaching, graduates of Bible college and so forth, and 2 of them are still in college. Let me always encourage young people to find out what God would have you to do with your life. So important when you're young in those teenage years. And I don't believe teenagers need to sow wild oats. I need to sow good oats, amen, as far as that goes. So let's pray and ask God to bless this service. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for this service. And again, I pray you'll bless it now and meet the needs as long as you can. And if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, today's a good day to make that happen. I pray you'll bless now in Jesus' name, Lord, and amen. You may be seated, please, and thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. I'm glad we got a Bible to turn to, amen. I'm glad we don't have to rewrite it. We just need to reread it, amen. I like the old book, the King James. I appreciate the Bible and the promises in the Bible. Any facet of life, any problem we got in our lives, the Bible has the answer, amen. And I'm glad for that. And so Ezra here is here in chapter number 7. God gave him a mission to go from Babylon to Jerusalem. And there were some things that Ezra did that he had prepared in his life before God. There's some things that he had done. And I want to say today that it's so important for us to find out what God would have us to do in our lives. Hopefully you can draw some things here, what Ezra did. First of all, I want you to see, in order for Ezra to get ready for the mission that God had for him, he was ready to discover the will of God. Look at verse number 10, chapter number 7, verse number 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." What a blessing. First of all, Ezra discovered what God wanted him to do. You know why? He spent time in the Bible. He said, "God, what do you want me to do?" And by the way, God is still speaking today. Now, we may not be listening, but God is still speaking, and he has a plan and a purpose for each and everyone's life today. Amen? I believe that. Everywhere I go, I believe that God has a plan. Now, God's plan for you may never have you leave this area right now where you're at, but God's plan may have you leave this area. What I'm trying to say is that Ezra, is it verse number 10, he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. One man said this, "As a farmer prepares his soil for planting, so a Christian must prepare his heart to receive the will of God." And I remember as a little boy, we lived on a farm, and we had to prepare that soil. I don't know how many of y'all remember what a honey wagon was. Y'all know what a honey wagon is? Well, it's not really a honey wagon, but let me tell you what it was. My dad would go down to the local market there in Huntington, West Virginia, and he would clean out those stalls of the manure and put it on his wagon and take it out on his Dodge truck and take it out to the house. And he said, "Son, this is the honey wagon." I said, "Dad, this don't smell like no honey, especially those pockets of air comes up. I mean, it's just disgusting, you know?" And he said, "No, son, this is what's going to happen." And my first time doing that, we would spread that manure out in the fall. And then that time winter would come and then spring would come, he would get a big tractor and tiller it up and everything. Then I would get on the rototiller and we'd prepare that soil. And I tell you what, buddy, when them maters came and potatoes came and green beans came, it was really, really good. Amen. You know, but I don't like going through that manure part. Amen. I'd rather go to the grocery store and buy that or a farmer's market, whatever like that. But hey, just as a farmer prepares the soil for planting, we as Christians need to take time to prepare our own hearts to find out what God is. And that's what Ezra did there in verse number 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." Now, before I go any farther, keep your finger there in chapter 7 of Ezra and turn over to Psalm 119. Let me show you some verses here, Psalm 119, that really speaks on this issue of the heart. Chapter number 119 of Psalms. And I want you to look here at verse number 2. "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the" what? "Whole heart." Verse number 10 says this: "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Verse 32. I like verse 32. "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." What do you mean? Well, God doesn't make my physical heart bigger, but my spiritual heart he can make bigger, amen? He can enlarge that to where he can help me see things and accomplish things that some people might not be able to because I have prepared my heart to seek him. Verse 32. Look down there in verse number 34, please. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." So Ezra had given his heart to seek God's will. Back to chapter 7 of Ezra now. Verse number 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart." Let me ask you this morning, have you prepared your heart to find out what God have you to do? You know, maybe you're a housewife today, or you're a grandma, and you're right here, and God made this the plan for your life. If you're a housewife, you got 3 or 4 kids and so forth, hey, just love your husband, take care of your kids, and take care of your house, amen? You know, when it comes down to figuring out what you're going to do with your life, my wife, Tonda, she homeschooled our children over there in Europe. They didn't go to the German school or the Belgium schools, so we homeschooled our children, and she spent a lot of time teaching my children and growing up in homeschooling and everything, and we invested in them. Now, my wife was the teacher, and I was the administrator and the financial man, amen? I paid for everything, but I was the principal, too. And sometimes the principal would come in and just say, "Hey, the boys need a recess." They didn't really need a recess, but I just did that because it made Mom mad sometimes, amen, you know? Mom had a strict schedule to go by and so forth, whatever. But Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And that's why it's so important to keep your children, and if you got grandchildren here today, keep them in the house of God. Help them to be saturated with the things of God. Because as they get older, the world's going to have a pull on them and get them in wrong places and get the wrong kind of friends. Ezra had taken time to discover what God had for him because he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Amen. Let me encourage all of us. Now, in order to do that, you got to be born again. You got to be saved. You're not homogenized or pasteurized. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. You have to know you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm glad when I got saved, I got a second birth certificate. I got a physical birth certificate, and then I got a spiritual birth certificate. It's a time and place back in the past when I realized I was lost and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And from that day, 1976, I began to prepare my heart to seek the law of the Lord, just as Ezra did. So let me encourage you, in order for Ezra to get ready for his mission that God had for him, he said, "I want you to go from Babylon and I want you to go to Jerusalem to help my people." And in order for him to do that, Ezra prepared his heart. But now I want you to see something else here. And it's very interesting. When Ezra prepared his heart to seek God's will, when Ezra said, God, I want you to be in my life, God did something for him. Look there in verse number 6, please. Chapter number 6. Latter part of that verse says here, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And down in verse number 9, according to the good hand of his God upon him. I believe that Ezra had the touch of God on his life. I believe God's hand was upon his life. Why do I believe that? Because Ezra, the Bible says this, draw nigh to me and I will what? Draw nigh to you. Ezra made the decision to put God first. He said, I want to prepare my heart for you, God. I want you to show me what to do. And when Ezra did that, God touched his life. And I believe everybody in here today needs God's touch on their life. Amen. Whatever you're going through, hey, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know the person that does. Amen. And I'm glad that God's hand is upon me. And I tell you what, we all should desire God's touch in our life. Amen. I mean, physical ailments, problems now. Everywhere we look nowadays, there's always problems going on. And your pastor mentioned the folks out there in Las Vegas. I was preaching out there about a month ago, you know. And people say, well, are you nervous about traveling all over the world? No, I'm not. God told me to do it, and I'm going to. There in Paris, I was there 2 weeks before that massacre in Paris was. I had flown into Charles de Gaulle Airport, and I just was there 2 weeks before. The truth be told, you could fall down or have a car accident right here in North Carolina, okay, man? You know, we don't know about that, but he does. But the key thing is, God's touch was upon Ezra's life because he said, God, I want you to be involved in my life. And so today, if you're a teenager, you're a young person, you're looking for a mate, you're trying to find someone to, maybe you're a young lady, you're a young, all three of my boys, two of my boys are already married. And by the way, I want to tell you something real quick. I become a grandpa in 18 days. Well, you know how that goes. It could be whatever. So my first son, he's been married 3 years, and he had my first grandson. My second son's been married for 16 months. I said, hey, son, get on it. Let's go. Amen. His wife was just kind of whatever. He said, you know. But I love having grandkids. I can't wait to check it out. Amen. You know, see what it's going to be like, especially when they need help. I can say, here you go. Amen. You know, as far as that goes. But I just want to say to you, Ezra had God's touch on his life, and we all should desire that, okay? So number one, Ezra discovered all God's will for his life because he was ready for that, because he prepared his heart, and then God touched him and said, I want to help you. I want to be involved in your life, you know? And it's not a hocus-pocus thing. It's not nothing. It's where you in your heart say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And as you seek him, you prepare your heart to do what he wants you to do, then God's touch will be on your life just as it was upon Ezra. Not only see there, and by the way, God may call you to go around the world, across the state, or across the street. Amen. There are people right here in this community that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the gospel still works. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ, hey, it still works, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I don't have to go back and reinvent nothing. No, when the gospel still works, it has the power to change life, and it's still changing lives. I've been on invitation about 9.5 months, and we've seen 7 people saved. 7, it wish it had been more, but we had 7 people that got saved, and I was over in Japan a couple weeks ago, and we saw 3 people in the military church come forward and get saved. Now, here I'm in a military church. It was kind of interesting. We had 2 Filipino ladies in their 20s get saved and a Japanese lady get saved. Now, I'm in a military church, but in a military church, you got all kinds of people coming in there. You know what I'm saying? So we not only reach the military, we have a local effect with our military, but then we have a global effect to try to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we see here that, first of all, Ezra is ready for his mission, because he discovered all that God had for him. Number 2, look at Ezra chapter number 7, please, and verse number 10 again. Excuse me. Verse 10 says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to what? Do it. Not only was he ready to discover God's will, but he was ready to do it. And a lot of Christians here, they make the mistake. They know all the facts and figures of the Bible. They can tell you stories in the Bible and so forth. They prepare their heart, but they are not ready to go ahead and make it practical. Ezra not only knew what God wanted him to do, but he did it. And I tell you, what a blessing. The Bible says don't be only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Make the word of God practical in your life. Have God be your best friend. Say, God, I talk to God all the time, you know. And I pray to God when I'm driving. I don't close my eyes, amen, you know. But pretty soon, though, the cars they're making now, these cars nowadays, they can almost drive themselves. What are we going to do when a car drives itself, amen, you know. And someone was telling me the other day about these new trucks. You push a button or something, and it backs the trailer up. I have a hard time backing trailers. I don't know how you all do, too, but I have a hard time. So that'd be a neat truck to have that would back the trailer up by itself, amen. I don't know how it does it, but that's what they said. So Ezra said, hey, I'm not only ready to discover it, but I want to do God's will. I hope and pray that we can be ready for God's mission in your own life. Not only discover what God wants you to do, but do what God wants you to do. Find out. And by the way, when you do that too, when you do it, God did not save us to sit down in the pew. He called us to serve him. Now, I tell you, I'm 53 years old now. I'm over half a century year old. In my church I just pastored in Georgia, we had a lot of people in there that were 70 and 80 years old in our church. And a lot of them used to serve God for years, but they've had to change little things because they couldn't do what they used to do. But a lot of them still did something for God. I remember one time we had a situation there. We had we brought 180 bus kids in from inner city Atlanta into our church. And we had like three big buildings like with 18,000 square feet of carpet. A lot of carpet that had to be cleaned every week. Well, we had a lot of vacuum cleaners, but not a lot of vacuumers. So one Sunday night, I got up at church, and I said, hey, folks, how many of you all vacuum at your house? And almost everybody in church raised their hand. I said, well, if you can vacuum in your house, you can vacuum in God's house. That's all I said. I went ahead and preached the message. At the end of the service, Brother Tommy came forward. He was 74 years old. 74 years old. He worked at the bowling alley for 40 years. Now, I don't know what you do to the bowling alley for 40 years, but that's what he did. Retired from there. And he did that. He said, preacher, can I talk to you tomorrow morning at the church? I said, sure, Tommy. So he came by the church Monday morning. He said, pastor, he said, I want to vacuum on Monday mornings from 9 to 12 for the Lord. And I said, praise the Lord, Tommy. So I took Tommy to the janitor closet, and there was four vacuum cleaners in there. I said, which one do you want? He said, I want that one there. I took a permanent magic marker out and put his name on that vacuum. And I said, you grease it, you oil it, change the bag, change the belt, whatever you got to do, Tommy, you take care of that vacuum. That's been 4.5 years ago. And I was there the other month, and he's still vacuuming. And you know what the thing about it is? Most folks don't know he's not even doing it. Most folks don't know he's doing it. He's not doing it for people. He's doing it for the Lord, amen? He can't do what he used to do, but he is still doing something, amen? You see, Ezra, he not only discovered God's will, but he did God's will. When God speaks to you, when God gives you a yearning to do something, let me go ahead and say, do it. You'll be much better off if God tells you, maybe God wants you to join the choir. If God's nudging you to join the choir, you'll feel better being in the choir because you're doing what God wants you to do. Now, there are some folks that can't sing. I'm one of them. Let me tell you real quick how it happened to me. I was trying to find the clock somewhere, Pastor. That means no clock, preach as long as you want, right? No, I know it doesn't mean that. I'm just kidding. Anyway, in England, when I was there at Brother Isle's church, they asked for volunteers to sing specials in the church. So I went ahead and went up forward and talked to the piano player, and I practiced 3 or 4 weeks and so forth, and I got up on Sunday night and I sang my song unto the Lord. And as I got done singing the song, Pastor Isle was on the right-hand side, and as I was leaving the platform, he grabbed my coattail. He said, son, stick to preaching. That's what he said, amen? But I want to say to you is this, no better place to find out what God wants you to do than through your local church. Amen. God has a plan for you. You know, this place here, these buildings here don't maintain themselves. And so people can get involved and people can help do things. If you walk down the hallway and something's out of order, fix it. Take care of it. Amen. Whatever it may be, because this is your church. Make it your church. Amen. Take ownership in it and so forth. And you'll feel better. Ezra was ready to do God's mission because he's ready to discover it. And then he also did it. Look down here in verse number nine, chapter number 7 of Ezra. For upon the first day of the week, first month, began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem. So he left Babylon, and he came to Jerusalem. Now, one more thought I want to give you before I go to the next thought here. Babylon was a type of bondage, burdens. And when he went into Jerusalem, it's a type of blessing. By the way, whenever you do what God tells you to do, you'll leave bondage and come into blessings, amen, in your own life. So I just want to say to us, let's be ready to do God's mission, whatever it may be. Some folks are coming out of the hospital, your pastor just said, and we do the same thing at our church. We had meals come in, you know, and so that's a way you can help people and be a blessing to people. And when, especially with the wife, if the wife's in the hospital, I don't know what the men are going to do. Amen. They'll probably go to McDonald's somewhere down the road, whatever, you know. And my kids did not like when mama was in the hospital. Amen. Because I just got whatever I could and fixed it. Amen. You know, I remember one time I was making pizza for my children, those little pizzas you put in the oven and everything. And I got distracted, and it came out really, really bad. So my boys still remember today, I put barbecue sauce on it and said, we're having barbecue pizza today, amen? And they still remember that today, amen? So that's a blessing, though, as you're able to help your own family members in your church, and they need help, and that's part of it. So you don't only discover it, you do it. But then also, too, look down in verse number 10, chapter number 7 of Ezra. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He was not only ready to discover God's will and to do it, but lastly, he was ready to distribute God's will. The Bible says in verse number 10, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He wanted to, when God told him to leave Babylon and go to Jerusalem, He sent him with a mission to go teach his people the word of God. That's what missionaries do. When we go to different countries, when I preach the word of God there, I get them, God saves their soul, and then I teach them and instruct them in the ways of God. You saw the video there above Larry Barger, the first couple. He had 5 children and so forth. He was on his way to the mission field to Romania. God called him to the mission field. But his daughter, oldest daughter, got Crohn's disease. And it got really, really bad. And so he could not go. He wanted to go, but he was not able to go. And so forth. But Brother Larry, he's now a faithful deacon in the church there, serving the church, the family singing in the church. And so there's a big blessing when the military overseas, when they come back home, when they come back home and they get out of the military, I don't know about you, but it's good to have some families that come back into the church that are already taught and trained and ready to serve God there at their local church. Amen. And that's what we do. We're like a spiritual boot camp. Amen. Over there, overseas. They got them for 2 or 3 years, and then they ship out, and then we get other folks in. And so just as Ezra was ready to discover, ready to do God's will, and to distribute it, that's what missionaries does. And that's what I do as far as a military missionary. I got some 23 men all over the world preaching the gospel or called to preach out of our ministry. And I thank God for that, that they're serving the Lord. And as your pastor said, a lot of times they stick with it the rest of their life. Amen. God's called them here. God's called them and they do it. So let me encourage all of you all today. Are you ready to do God's mission? Well, if you spend time in the Bible and say, God, what do you want me to do? You say, God, prepare my heart. I want to seek you. I want to do what you want me to do. When you do that, Then you get God's touch upon your life. And God helps you. God will guide you along. And I tell you one, I'm glad that I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I know the one that does. And I'm glad he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad for that. I need to have that. And so Ezra was ready to do all that God had him to do. I hope and pray this morning that you're ready to do the mission that God would have for you to do. Let's all stand to our feet, please, if we would. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around.